Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you, man?
Man, I'm fantastic. How about you?
I'm great. No problems.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a giant red
hat
on my head?
What happened? Why'd you hit your head again?
Well, I had the hat on. I thought maybe it had gone away.
It's like a circle.
Yeah, I hit my head on the door frame.
What door frame?
Like at my house. I was letting the dogs. I went down to pick up a dog toy and I lifted up and somehow hit the side of the door frame. My father, who's a bald man, he hit his head at least three times a day. Right. I thought that was just a dad thing. I thought, well, I guess when I get older, he wasn't that tall. I mean, you met him. How old tall was he? Maybe 5'9", something like that. I don't know how tall he was. But he hit his head getting out of the car. He hit anywhere he could possibly hit his head, and it was always, boom, God damn it, son of a... And my mom would tell him, watch that, and he would just cuss to himself. I sound just like him. And then I start coughing and wheezing and sound exactly like him, too. But I don't think I hit my head as much as he does. But
well,
he got a couple
big bumps
on
there.
I did today.
Got a scar on
That's true. I got hit in the face with that branch. So, yeah, I guess, you know, maybe I'm getting up there. I guess his thing really was the car. I was like, you can't get in and out of a car without hitting your damn head. I don't know. I thought that was like a dad thing, something that, you know, happens to us when we get older. Did your dad have any of those things?
No, he wasn't a hit his head guy.
Was your dad a cuss to himself guy? Like what I'm saying, like a God damn it, son of a... And then like walk away cussing at
me.
The family?
No, he would, he cussed at who he wanted to cuss at.
So he would raise his voice?
Oh, yeah.
Like to your mom and to you and whomever? Okay.
Yeah, whoever deserved it.
So he wore the pants? He wore the pants for sure?
Oh, yeah.
There was never any type of struggle there for power? Really? Okay.
Yeah, he was in charge.
Okay.
There was no doubt he was in charge.
Okay.
He ran that house.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, in the movies, that's usually how it is. I assume that's how it is in a lot of families. My house definitely was the opposite. My mom was in charge. But, you know, I always wondered, too, like, my mom had a good job.
She could make him do stuff, you know what I mean? But, you know, but if it came down to it, like, you know.
He was the boss. And if he was doing something, it was because he wanted to do it for
her. She could talk it to him. She could talk him into it.
Yeah, because he was scared of her.
New cars or appliances or furniture or whatever.
Yeah, but that wasn't out of fear. It was, I'll do it. Yeah,
all right. Yeah. But if it came down to it, like if she was like, we need a new car, and he didn't want to, then it would be like, you know.
No new car.
I said no.
Yeah, and that's the end of it?
Yeah, that's the goddamn end of it.
Well, you know, we could really use one, I think.
It was like, not another word.
Well, I think little
not Lazo, another goddamn word.
He wrecked his Mercur, and I think that maybe he needs a new car. So I was thinking, we've got a little bit of money in savings. We could go get him something. Mm-hmm. So never any fear.
No.
Yeah. Well, I guess you think that's... What's the percentage? If there's a mom and a dad in the house.
I think there's probably a lot more back then.
Yeah, well, true.
In the 70s. Dads ran it in the 70s. I think in the 80s, they started to lose grip.
You think it was like a
generational
thing? By the
90s, they were like, all right, this is about 50-50.
Oh, you think it's like 50-50. It could be 50-50.
I think it's 50-50 now, for sure.
Really? Okay. Right. Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see that, but I just didn't know. It's what I grew up with. But also, my mom got a really good job and started making more money than my dad. And I didn't think about it at the time because I was too young to kind of consider that. But looking back, I wonder if my mom making more money for a lot of years, automatically put her in a position of like, what do you, shut up. You know, I'll spend money on what I want to spend money on. You know, it becomes a whole thing. You don't want it to be. When you're young, you don't think that I hope I out-earn my partner. That's not something you care about or think about. Once you're in that house and you're living together, it does become a thing somehow. And I don't know how to get away from it. But I do
That's a thing for you?
I feel like I don't have a purpose, really. I'm not a dad. So I always feel like my job is to provide for someone, in a sense, you know, that we can live together. And I can provide for us, I guess.
I'm a feminist.
Yeah.
Go get that money,
girl. If she gets it, I know it's great.
Get that money, queen.
I know it's great. I know it's great. But yet I think I suddenly start to feel inadequate.
So do you make more than her?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
but, you're fine.
But it looks like I'm not going to for long. So you always see it creeping up. And again, it's not something I ever dreamed I'd be thinking about. But I do. And I don't think she thinks about it. You know, maybe she does, but I don't think she does.
Right.
She might think, hey, I'm going to out her and read. You know, that'll be good. Because I should have been out her him for a long time.
Right,
you know, that sort of thing. Maybe, but I don't know. It's definitely something I think about. And I know there's been times in the past where I came to you when I was younger, and you at least understood my plight.
I understand it. Yeah, I never agree with it.
Like, I know. You always said, like, look, who cares? And I'm like, I do. And you're like,
well,
okay.
Well, not only who cares, but, like, go make more money.
I know.
Like, we're both going to use it, right? Like,
I know. Of course.
Better vacations? Like, yeah, please.
That's the thing.
When make it all.
Sharing a bank account and all of a sudden all that extra money's there, doesn't hurt anybody. Well, it might hurt your relationship when you go out and buy a Dodge Charger without talking to your wife first and drive
you
it up
did
to
that.
Her. Yeah, I did that. I did that. That was a crazy time in my life, you know? I just got really, really comfortable and out of control. And, you know, we shared a bank account, which probably wasn't wise to do. And one day, I think I went in for, like, an oil change. And while I was waiting for my truck to come out, I saw this brand-new car sitting there. And the guy's like, you want to test drive it? And I was like,
hey,
sure.
Real quick, didn't she want to come in here and film something?
Oh, yeah. She wants to come film.
In.
She wants to come film.
She's going to stop in here first.
Oh, okay.
You know, for the real talent here.
What, is she coming in?
She's going to. She's taking shots from over there. But yeah, I bought the car without asking her.
Why is she getting
in? I don't
know.
She came
in
here
got
first.
Him, and then I think she got a shot of us from in there, too. And she's going to come in here.
She's going to come in there.
Yeah. She's a professional. She knows what she's doing.
Well, you don't need to get him.
No.
She can hear us. You don't need, like, that's wasted film. I don't even know if it's digital or whatever it is.
SIM card space, whatever it is.
You can delete all that. Make room for other people.
It's, whatever it is,
we're
it's unnecessary.
They're filming us.
Yeah. And we were told someone's going to come film us. But you've always had an open-door policy. That's tough,
just walk in. I don't care.
We tell people that. And you're like, no, you can walk in. No, if the mic's on,
it's
fine.
But this might be part of the show.
Exactly.
I'm going to ask you what the hell you're doing, but I don't care. The big thing, like, they had these big on-air lights. You've probably seen them in TV or movie or whatever. Like, if this is on, then don't go in. I'm always like, it's so weird.
Yeah, you've never been
you can just
that.
Walk in. Like, I don't care.
As a matter of fact.
Like, I'm not going to freak out and be like, oh, what was I talking about?
Right.
And then just crap my pants. Play a song.
Like you said, don't get mad if you become part of the show for a while.
Yeah, yeah, I may ask you, like, I've never seen you before.
Right,
who are you?
Exactly. Right. But, you know, that's that. Well, you can definitely walk in. So much so that we had someone who used to walk in all the time, and one time I went to walk into his studio, and he was upset because he was interviewing someone.
Yeah.
And my fiance still talks about this. Brooke talks about this being one of her favorite Laszlo moments of all time. Was when I tried to walk into Danny's studio that day. I don't even remember what I needed from him, but he was interviewing someone. And I was not upset. He basically pointed to his headphones like, you know, and mouthed, I'm interviewing. Like, get out. And I was like, oh, okay. So I left. But Laszlo saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And it pissed him off.
Laszlo was furious.
And so the next time Danny came into the studio, Laszlo let him have it. And Brooke to this day says that's one of her favorite moments. She's like, that showed such loyalty.
Yeah, see?
And she just let him have it. And I was like, dude, I honestly wasn't that upset about it. But the fact that he was, I understood. I was like, oh, I get what you're saying. Yeah, we let him walk in
whenever
we
all
want.
The time, whenever
he does
he wants.
It every day. Yeah.
Now he's on TV.
Yeah. So anyhow, those are the rules. See,
maybe
she walked in.
Right. There you go.
Thank you. Okay,
fine.
So we got to take a break because we got to do some shooting here. I probably need my hat on because I got a welt on
I think she can just get us talking like right now.
Should I put my hat on so I don't have this giant welt on my head? What
it's
do you
a
think?
Good hat.
Yeah, it's probably
it's a good hat anyway.
Just wear the Royals hat, right? Okay, how do we look? Need the lighting to
did
change
you guys
or
know each other?
I met her once when she took
our
picture.
I've never met her before.
She took your picture.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I
didn't get my picture taken.
Oh, that's right. We used it. We already had a picture.
We used the other one,
she said she was going to, but yeah, she took our pictures for the website. Very nice. Do you need us to do something? Well, let's take a break, Snowcone, so she can film some of this awesomeness.
Do we get the religious tax break for this?
That's a great point.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Yo. What's going on?
Nothing. So I kind of need a favor.
All right. Well, let me talk to you about something real quick. Yes, I just want to get your opinion on something. We were talking about, parent stuff.
Yeah.
Off the air. There was apparently, and I don't want to give too much details or information, but stuff that went around my kids' schools, right?
Okay.
I don't want to say which one or whatever, about a threat.
Yeah, I saw
to the school. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
In the news or something?
Well, no, I saw someone actually
was
saw
it the
someone
white
sent
van
it to us.
Or a threat?
No,
I saw
it was,
the white van.
It was
thing
like
on
a post.
No, but one after that, like I don't want to say a school shooting, but
was it like this? Like this stuff?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I saw that. Actually, I think Poncho sent it to me.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't know if I didn't talk about it because I didn't know if any of it was confirmed or real.
Right.
I haven't seen it in the news.
Well, I got just some emails from the principal, like this, hey, we're aware of this,
Basically, it's some messages that look like they're from, is that Discord, I assume? And, they're troublesome, but I don't know even which school it would be.
Right, me neither, actually.
But apparently
they were at least, they talked about my kids' schools.
Yeah, okay.
I just kept them home today.
Why not? Yeah.
Right? Like what? I don't.
Yeah,
I know some people. I'm not, saying other people who sent their kids to school. It's fine. I don't,
right.
Yeah, I don't make those decisions for you. But in my head, it was like,
yep.
I mean,
it's a day of school.
Yeah. What are you learning about today? That's so important.
That you can't miss.
And now it was almost like one of those things where it's like, now that it's in the universe.
Yeah.
And I know this is a crazy thought, but okay, so now it's in the universe. You've been told of a threat to the school,
right?
And then you've been told, hey, the police have investigated that threat, and it's not a threat. Okay. Fair.
Yeah.
But if something happens,
right,
I'll be like, I saw the threat.
This. Yeah.
I can't, what now?
It's like the FBI saying, FBI investigated this kid last year, and nothing came of it.
Right.
You're like, wait a second, you knew?
But even then, it's just such a personal thing. If something happens, even though everything that you've told me makes complete sense, and there is no threat, and everything's fine, it's still like, you know what? I saw it.
Yeah.
You can't put the cat back
in the bag.
Is that what it is? The dick back in the donuts?
Whoa, no.
Well, whatever. I don't remember what my dad said.
That's if we're betting something. Well, I'm glad you brought this up, because actually what I want to talk to you about coming up here is parenting stuff.
Okay.
So, because that's why I'm glad you brought this up. Let's discuss this.
Well, I just let them both stay home.
Yeah, why not? Okay. I think you did the right thing. I'm not a father myself, but sounds right to me. I totally agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I read those things. So, yeah, go ahead.
It wasn't good. They weren't mysterious in nature.
No, they weren't.
It's not a week. It's a day. Who
exactly.
cares?
Right. Yeah, keep them home. I'm with you. Well, I want to ask you some other questions here in a second.
Okay.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9, The Rock. The Rock. The Rock.
Yo. So you brought up this, parenting thing and keeping your kids home from school. And
right, there's some sort of threat to schools. I don't know.
There's some screenshots that are circulating that I've seen.
Right.
And from what I was told, it was just, it's causing some concern for Casey area schools. I don't know if it's more specific than that now, but also that, and again, this was just told to me that the news was kind of saying they don't believed to be the real real threats. I don't know if any of that's true, though.
Well, the principal did email, not just me, but everybody, and said, hey, we've had not only the school's law enforcement, but local law enforcement investigate these things, and, it's not. But I was like, well, whatever. If it's not, if it is, just stay home.
Yeah. So I think, that's fine. Right. I feel like that's fine. I know my validation doesn't mean much because I'm not a dad, but just third-party perspective, I'm like, no, I absolutely would probably do the same thing.
Yeah, right?
Exactly the reasons you gave.
What if something did happen? Then I wouldn't be able to live with that.
Yeah. And being the kind of person I am, too, one day of school, I always thought, one day of school.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm there every day, right? We got plenty of school to go. So, but the thing I wanted to ask you about was what's going on with Snow Cone over here. Because, Snow Cone also is a dad.
Yes, he
has a son. His son lives a couple hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And Snow Cone has to drive out there quite a bit. And today was the day that his son had something that he does at school. He did it last year, too. Snow Cone brought it up to me last year.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he talked to you about this. It's a very brief thing. It's important to his son, but it's really him saying two words in front of an audience, and then he sits back down. He goes like a Catholic school, right? He says something about whatever, and then he's done. Literally, I mean, we're not talking 2 minutes. We're talking 2 seconds.
Right.
And last year, that's what it took, was about 2 seconds, which would cause Snow Cone to have to drive for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Right? To go see this and then get back to work and all that. But he really wanted to go.
Yeah.
And he wanted to go, I know, because he wants to be a good dad.
Yeah, of course.
And I kept telling him, look, I'm not a dad, but I do remember my dad. I love my dad, thought he was awesome, really didn't have any criticism about him at the time that I can think of. And my dad would not have left work for that.
No.
Now, maybe times have changed, but like my dad would not have left work really for just about anything.
No.
If he had to leave early to get to a Christmas play or something,
my dad wouldn't leave. Like if there were two plays and there was one during the school and then one at night,
yeah,
he'd be at the one at night.
Yes.
He's not rolling over at noon to see you in a play.
Right.
On Thursday afternoon. It's not happening.
Work was like, and I've said this before, but the only time I remember ever calling my dad at work was when the Chiefs signed Joe Montana. Mm. And I called him on his lunch break and said, "Hey, Dad." And he goes, "Oh, wow, that's great news. I'll tell the guys." And I was like, "Okay." And he said, "Love you. Love you too. Bye." That's the only time I ever called him at work. There were threats sometimes at school, like, "We'll call your parents." I'm like, "Oh, Jesus."
Right, yeah.
But they never called my dad. My mom was the one that they usually call, just because it was the 80s, 90s, whatever.
Right, right.
But my dad, when he was at work, I wasn't upset with him for not being able to do something because he had to work. He also worked nights. So in the evenings, or at least for several years, he worked evenings, nights. Didn't get home till about 11:30, midnight. So that meant anything in the evening, he couldn't come to if it was on a weekend at all. I never had any type of like anger or, you know, my insecurity that my dad might not care about me because I come to this stuff. You know, I don't know what you do in that situation, but I also understand Snow Cone saying his son is like,
You never want to let him down.
Right.
You never want to let him down. That's it.
Is that what it is?
And you don't want to let him down. Like, you know, that's it.
So how do you find the line between you don't want to let them down, but also you don't always get everything you want? You know what I mean?
I think it's also because there's no precedent. Like, he knows I'm able to leave work sometimes because of my job.
That's right.
I'm able to step out for a little bit. So there's no precedent of, like, I cannot leave work. I cannot answer the phone.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not like he's called you a few times. You never answer, and then you call him that night and say, "Don't call me at work," and so he gives up. Yeah. You know?
Right.
He'll call you at work because he thinks he can call
he
you at work.
I think kids are way more resilient than we give them credit for. I think, he wanted you there. I also think he's not going to remember it.
Right.
And there's two things, like, you just kind of consume there. Is one, that you're even feeling guilty about it and thinking about driving 4 hours for him to say something makes you a good dad.
That's what I told him earlier.
Just the thought.
I said, you wanted to go. That shows that you're good. And you've done stuff like this before.
So that tells me that, and so what that tells me is, like, that's not it. You just can't think about it and then not do it. What that tells me is any time there is a chance that you are going to have to be with him,
mm-hmm.
you're going to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll all work out.
Yeah.
It'll all work out.
Yeah. I
didn't go every time to my kid's stuff. You know, a lot of times I'd leave. It was closer, though. It wasn't 4 hours.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the other thing.
It's different because, you know, he's got a football game this weekend he really wants me to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And so to drive 4 hours today, then drive 4 hours this weekend again, you know.
Right.
And then have to drive back, most likely, again, another 4 hours. Like, man, I got to pick which ones, you know, are really going to matter here.
Mm-hmm.
And the one today is literally, like some said, like at 10 seconds of, like, him on a microphone.
Can they put you on? Can his mom put you on an iPad so your face is there?
FaceTime.
Yeah, I mean, she can FaceTime. Last time she recorded it for me.
Yeah, have him FaceTime it though, so your face is there.
And put it on your face,
and then show it to him. Like, hey, Dad was here.
Right.
Yeah, he's watching.
That would be cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's what we're trying to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Times have changed. You know, when we were kids, you had the guy with the camcorder.
My face there. Yeah.
Right. You don't need the camcorder over your shoulder. I can watch, and you can see that I'm watching.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I wonder how impactful that is. I'm sure it matters, right? Because you took time out of your day.
Of course, you are here.
Yeah, you took time out of your day.
For me, it would have been weird. Like, what is my dad?
Right, why is he on that picture phone?
He's like, no, but like, I assume they think you really are there.
Yeah, I wonder about that. They probably do. They probably do. And they probably wouldn't even think about, oh, you didn't make it. It was, oh, no, you watched. Thank you for watching it as it happened.
Exactly.
So, yeah, but I, you know.
We'll all watch. What time does it happen?
Yeah, we should all watch.
It's 2:45.
All right, we'll be on it.
We'll all watch it. That's my thing. I totally understand what he's saying. I'm just kind of on both sides here. I'm like, you do not have to drive out there to do this. But then he's like, but here's what happens. My son says this, and he gets upset. And I'm like, ah. But I said the same thing. The fact that you want to go.
Yeah.
But I also just wonder, as a parent, at what point, is there a point where you have to kind of decide, oh, you know what? I need for this kid to know, and this is going to sound horrible, but I need for this kid to know that they don't always get what they want. Like, did your kids ever show signs of, I guess, like, you know, being kind of spoiled or whatever, and you go, hey, look, you don't always get what you want. Is that ever a thought? You're like, I probably need to be a little more realistic with my kid once in a while. Or does it just kind of, they just kind of become who they are on their own, and you know, you guys are friends and everything seems to work out in the end? Because you've never said that. I see no signs of your kids being brats.
No.
I've never seen him be bratty to anyone. I've never heard of a bratty. I can't even imagine it, actually. And yet you showered them with whatever they wanted when you could, whatever you could get them, right?
Yeah.
And that didn't automatically turn them into spoiled brats.
No. And now, oddly enough, they'll be like, I'll be like, oh, man, you see those new Jordan 4s? Like, don't spend money on that. Don't do that.
Right, that's
crazy. They've kind of taken the other side of it.
Because that's how I was as a kid. Because my parents were worried about money.
Got it. Don't want, you know, they're like, come on, it's fine.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay.
Who knows what that secret is, then?
Right, yeah.
Because I think a lot of people think you buy them everything, they're going to be spoiled brats.
Mm-mm.
But I've watched it with my own eyes. It didn't happen. I don't know what you did. But
me neither. That's the other thing. I don't know. I think I just got lucky I got good kids.
Could you see your kids at his age, when your kids at his age say, hey, can you come and see me? Say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I got to work. And them getting upset about it when they're about six? Because you've gone to basic, almost
I've
every
been to
practice.
Everything.
Every game,
but
almost
you know
every
what?
Practice.
I know, like, you know, I felt bad because there was Grandparents' Day and their grandparents don't live here.
Oh, yeah.
And they had to go to school without their grandparents, like... Sorry, man. Like, your grandparents don't live here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that sucks, but I remember feeling bad about it, but, like, what am I going to do?
Should have sent snow cone. Yeah. My grandparents were dead, so my aunt came to school because I had a cousin at school, so she would stop by afterwards. She looked like a grandma.
Well, I didn't really know it was my fault to some degree because I was like, when did this Grandparents' Day thing happen?
You didn't have that when you were a kid?
Well, I wasn't, no, and I wasn't reading all the emails that came. Well,
of course not.
No, but then the next year, my dad and my mom flew in.
Oh, they did? Yeah, for Grandparents' Day?
Yeah, because they're like, we're not missing. And I told him, I said, oh, you guys missed Grandparents' Day. And my dad was like, we did what?
He was upset.
You didn't tell us there was Grandparents' Day. All those years later, when that dude wouldn't have left work if I would have told him, Dad, I got my law degree in the sixth grade, and they're going to honor me as the smartest child ever and offer me a contract to play for the Yankees.
He'd be at like, 2 p.m. on a Monday.
He's like, I got to work. Got to work. I'm like, hey, you missed Grandparents' Day. He's like, sweet son of a bitch. You dirty bastard.
You dirty ass. Will you let me miss this? My son.
I'm like, who's this man?
You think it's because of his age or because of generations? Like,
and I think he thought.
Have we just become nicer?
I'm not a grandparent, but I think he thought with me, he was trying to teach me to be a man.
Yeah.
With them, all he had to do was love them. I think he felt more pressure on to raise me.
Right.
And so then with that, he made different decisions as opposed to his grandkids. It was just like, oh, I got to do is love you.
Yeah. Right? And now I've got a reason to come down. Yeah.
Whatever.
Because I could call you and say, hey, your mother and I would like to come to town and stay for a week, whatever. But if it's Grandparents' Day, I'm just coming.
Yes.
Of course I'm coming. Yeah, I don't need you to invite me, really, because the school's already invited me.
Right.
That's pretty awesome.
Up next, speaking in tongues.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
We're going to doom scroll in a minute.
We are going to doom scroll in a minute. Have you seen what's going on in New Orleans?
Seen it. I started it.
I don't know, Laszlo. I mean, it does feel a little...
Laszlo-ish?
Well, prophetic. I don't know. Like, the last time I saw this happen in New Orleans, I was at your wedding.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping that everything's okay at home with you right now, because here it is happening again. And
was there a hurricane?
Well, it was Francine. Yeah, I think by the time it was... it didn't take long before they started calling it a tropical storm, but then they were talking about tornadoes. I don't know what the difference would be between a hurricane and the winds that they're getting there. I don't know how that works, but I do know that the footage that they show on the news, it looks like everything's underwater.
No, really?
Yeah, it's bad.
I haven't even seen.
But they could just be showing me areas where everything's underwater. I don't know, but I just think, I thought they fixed that. You know what I mean? Like, wasn't the whole problem with Katrina that the wall came down?
The
they said the levee would hold, and it didn't. And so didn't they redo it, I assume, after?
You would think.
Is that what's causing the flooding, or is it just because there's so much rain, anywhere would flood that way? And they're telling you, like, you know, try not to use your toilet at the house or water because the sewers are filled with stormwater. I'm like, what is my hand washing going to do to add to this? You know, where the streets have 8 feet of water on them. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Well, I haven't seen it. I'm going to Google it now, though.
I mean, I've never lived next to an ocean. You have.
Yes.
And so the whole hurricane thing to me is
a
little bit like
three of them.
When you moved here and you're like, microburst, what the hell is that? And I was like, oh, it's like a tornado that just explodes from the bottom of your house up. You're like, that can't be a thing.
Right.
But it's just because you don't know.
At least you get warnings.
Yeah. But I always felt that way about hurricanes. I'm like, hurricanes.
Dude, hurricanes, you get like months warning.
Yeah, but then you just have to leave everything behind or say, I'm going to stay and ride it out because I don't want to leave everything behind.
Well, it's better than like, hey, you got 15 minutes, there's a tornado coming, it's going to pull everything up in your house away. At least if I've got like 2 weeks' notice, I can board up the windows, make sure everything's cool, put hurricane windows on it all year long,
yeah,
and then drive to Orlando and go to Disney World.
Okay, that's you bring up does. A lot of good points, okay?
Time for a smoke break.
Fire it up.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock. It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
All right, doom scroll.
Well, mentioned this earlier, but there's a pretty bad storm in New Orleans. They knew it was coming. I've heard about it on the news the last couple days when I wake up and read the news. Hurricane Francine. And it looked like, you know, the same areas that had been just totally decimated by Katrina were all prepping for this current hurricane. Now, I guess it did slow down some as it got there, but man, I've been watching the news and it looks like the whole place is flooded to me. Okay. It looks bad.
Residents in New Orleans surveying the damage after Francine slammed into New Orleans overnight as a fast-moving Category 2 hurricane. The Big Easy taking a direct hit from powerful winds up to 100 miles per hour, ripping off roofs and knocking out power. Francine also pounding New Orleans and nearby coastal communities with more than 8 inches of rain, floodwaters cutting off parts of the city, a storm surge of up to 4 feet flooding major highways.
I mean, how long is your power out at that point? Because I've had a power outage at my house because the grid goes down in the summer and it's too hot and it takes them the rest of the day and I get furious. But if your whole city is underwater, I assume you're going to be without power for a long time. And I see some of these people that are in their homes still, which I understand. Like, even though I've never lived in a hurricane zone, I understand the idea of, like, I'm going to stay here because you've probably been through a lot of tropical storms. And they didn't take the house.
And you leave and it costs money. Yeah. And that didn't hit where it said it was going to hit. And so a lot of people stay. I've stayed twice.
Yeah.
I've left a couple times, but I've stayed twice. And you're like, it's not going to hit here. And then it does.
I was in a hurricane in Mexico. They knew it was coming. And at a certain point of the day, they said, okay, everybody's got to go inside the hotel. It wasn't even really cloudy out yet, but they said everybody's got to go inside the hotel. So you go in, you eat, you get changed, whatever. You come back down. And now it's cloudy and it's raining and the winds are dripping, and then pretty soon you just see like some of the patio furniture that was tied down wasn't tied down good enough, but the winds just ripped through and then it was over. I'm like, what was that? And they're like, it was a hurricane. And I'm like, oh. And it's in my mind, I'm like, I guess a building like this probably doesn't have to worry about it, you know. And I think
I was
a lot
in
of people
Hugo and it
way.
Moved my car.
That would be crazy.
It moved my car.
Wind that
I mean,
actually
it didn't move it like 20 feet away, but it moved my car.
I mean, I've had wind hit the side. You know, you get broadsided by a gust of wind, and your car can...
Yeah, my car was parked, and it moved to a different spot.
If you're in 60-mile or 100-mile-an-hour winds, I can only imagine...
I had a little LN7.
Oh, I heard about the LN7. Yeah, yeah, that would be scary, but I do think I'd be the person who stays. Like, you know, I'll board up the windows and do all that stuff, and I'll prep a little bit, but I want to make sure, like, what if one of the boards comes off and I need to put it back on, or, you know what I mean?
Well, we ran outside, like, oh, we should go to the electronics store.
Yeah.
And see if we can loot.
Well, yeah, I would
do
that.
So we ran out, but then as we got, about the time we ran to the, like, we were all drunk.
Yeah.
By the time we got to the electronics store, it started to hail, ding, 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 and we were like, oh, no. We're going to get caught in this storm, so we ran back. We didn't get any
Oh, damn. I was hoping you'd say, that. Where do you think I got this microphone that you're hearing today? right from that storm. I would loot at a certain age, for sure. I know it's bad. I don't know what it is, but it's just like, I'm sure it's insured. A lot of this stuff is going to be ruined anyway. I would definitely take stuff. But as an adult, I think I would stay there, and I'd buy a generator, and I'd do all this prepping. I don't know why. I should just leave. I should do what you're saying and go to Orlando.
Yeah,
get a hotel. Go
somewhere. On our Twitch, though, twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo, Hafa says, blows my mind people want to live on the Gulf Coast. There's multiple hurricanes every year. And I'm like, I don't like, okay, so let's take the hurricanes out of it, first off. So you live on the beach in the ocean and somewhat of a
close enough
tropical paradise, right? And you get 3 hurricanes a year. You don't, but let's just say even you did. How's that, like, as someone who considers, you know, a Florida home?
Yeah.
How is that any different than Tornado Alley? Except for you don't get the advantage of the beach.
See, I think that's the difference between someone who's lived in a hurricane area and someone who hasn't. I kind of get what Hoffa's saying, because in our minds, I'm sure Hoffa probably grew up in the Midwest like me. And so you look at that and go, man, that I've seen that same area underwater a couple years ago. Like, I don't understand.
Right.
Whereas you say, yeah, there's tornadoes here, but most of us... have never actually seen a tornado because it always gets broken up. If you live in any type of urban area, it usually gets broken up long before it comes to your place. You hear about some houses getting destroyed, someone getting hurt. So
and hurricanes are huge compared to tornadoes, but there's more tornadoes.
Yeah, but they seem to just do less damage overall because they don't take the whole city out. You know, now, if it's a small town, it can take the whole city.
More of them.
And it's a giant tornado. But I've lived here my whole life, and I've never experienced, like, oh, this entire area is out of power because a tornado came through. It's always like it breaks up once it starts to get close to an urban area. I think we've lived through a lot of tornado warnings. Go down to the basement, tornado warning.
No, I think, but that's the same thing for hurricanes.
Exactly.
Like, oh, there's a hurricane. Well, good. Where's it going? New Orleans. Great. It's not Miami.
Yep. We've just lived through it the same way they've lived through the hurricane thing. But I do look at it probably the way Hoffa does, which is that thing flooded your whole damn city. Like, that hasn't happened here. We had a flood in 93 when the river flooded, and it flooded all of, you know, Swope Parkway and all that, or Southwest Boulevard down there. But it didn't flood the whole city. You know, and to see these images, like when Houston, wasn't it Houston that
Galveston.
That hurricane hit?
Yeah,
but I think, didn't Houston get flooded from one of those?
Yeah, but it's Houston-Galveston.
Yeah.
I don't know that it got all the way to Houston, but yeah. Okay.
I was thinking at one point one of them got to Houston. But anyway, you see those cities, and they're underwater. And that's just kind of crazy, like talking about the power being out and all that.
Right.
How are they going to fix this? It will take forever. Your whole city's underwater. Now, maybe what I'm seeing on the news also was the worst part yesterday, and they're doing all the highlights of the worst parts. But it could be that right now down there, if I look, the streets are wet. They're not flooded anymore, right? The water has run back. And it stopped raining, and it just, you know, now it might just look like a wet town, like it rained. I don't know. And the news could be showing me highlights from yesterday, you know, to make it look bad. So that's the other thing, too. We didn't live in it. We're not actually experiencing it.
Being in Hugo in Charleston, like, you know, we went outside, my car moved, trees are falling over.
Yeah.
Power was out, and then, you know, I don't know, within the next couple of days, it was, you know, crews were out removing the trees.
Right. Yeah, it's just you've been through it. That's kind of it. If you grew up here, you probably don't go down in the basement for a tornado warning unless you've got kids.
Right.
When you hear a tornado warning, you don't care. But when you're a kid, you cared. You're scared. What the hell's going on? After a while, you're like, nah. I always do this thing, too. Like, my house has been here since 1931. nothing's hit it in the past.
Right, that's fair.
And so, you know, that's just kind of how you think about it. The whole news yesterday, I mean, it was really night before, but it became big news yesterday that Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala Harris for president. She did not endorse anyone in 2016. And in that documentary you said you never watched, she said she regretted not getting involved in the 2016 race. She should have said something. So, and that in that documentary, that's where she wanted to endorse some sort of congressman. And her dad was like, I don't know. But she did it. And I think that congressperson ended up losing, which we mentioned. So it's like, how important is a celebrity endorsement? How important is her endorsement? Trump's got Hulk Hogan, I saw him.
Oh, yeah.
Kid Rock, right?
Yeah, sure.
So he's got celebrities. They want these celebrities to be up there and saying, hey, look at this celebrity that's endorsed me. Doesn't really do anything. And according to this, one thing I saw this morning, they say experts say celebrity endorsements do actually help quite a bit.
Evidence indicates that these voices are incredibly powerful, if not for candidate support, for boosting political engagement. Celebrities can also create momentum, like Oprah's endorsement of Barack Obama over Hillary Clinton and George Clooney's op-ed encouraging President Biden to leave the race. Taylor Swift, now potentially the most influential childless cat lady of 2024.
Yeah, that childless cat lady is a reference to something J.D. Vance said on it was Fox News a long time ago, and they've been hammering him for that ever since. Did our boss tell you that at the Michigan game, someone flew a sign over the Michigan game and said J.D. Vance is an Ohio State fan?
Yes.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. I wonder if that does have an impact.
That might.
I mean, it might be hard for a Michigander to pull the trigger for an Ohio State person, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that could actually sway someone. If not to vote for the other candidate, maybe to say, I just can't vote for him.
Well, I remember, you can Google it, but I think John Kerry went through and was in Michigan. And he got confused on which state he was, and he was like, well, when it comes to college football, I just love Ohio State. And
no, he didn't.
Like, yeah.
No, he did not.
And people were like, dude, get out of here, man. Like, they were upset about it.
Well, yeah, that's...
He's like, I mean, Michigan, and... Yeah.
Oh, that's obviously why he lost.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bad. That's bad. That's like the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, that's like rolling in here and being like, well, I'll tell you what.
St. Louis is the best.
Yep.
Love the Cardinals. Absolutely great. And you're like, no. You see people do that.
Yeah.
There's stories about it where they, you know, they're touring and they say the wrong thing. But if you said, hey, let's put together a list of the worst things someone could say when they make a gaffe about being in the wrong place. Well, probably someone in Boston saying it's good to be in New York. Love the Yankees, right?
Yeah.
How great is Jeter? Whatever. Something like that. But honestly, I think you'd have to at least make it a tie. You're talking about 100,000 people at a Michigan game, right? That's more than any NFL
Well, I don't
game.
Think he did it at a Michigan game.
Well, I'm just
he
saying that shows how avid the fans are. Yeah. 100,000 people show up to these games. Michigan is very serious. If you watch any type of documentary or true crime like I do and they go to Michigan for something, you will 100% see people wearing Michigan shirts.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You're not going to miss it. Someone will have it on at some point. So it's almost a religion there. So I would say that, and then Ohio State is the most hated. Enemy. So I can't think of really many things worse. I mean, maybe if you went back to the 90s and came here and said, it's good to be in Oakland, I love the Raiders. You know, but even still, that's a pretty bad gap. All right, take a break, come back and finish doom scrolling in just a second.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Whoopies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Well, what are we doing here?
Well, we were arguing about pizza, and St. Louis pizza is gross.
I hate St. Louis
pizza. Just like Cincinnati chili.
It's a made-up
Cincinnati
thing.
Diarrhea.
I enjoy Prevail cheese.
I just don't believe a lot of people.
You just eat it on its own?
Yeah, would you eat
grab a block of Prevail?
No, when I go to St. Louis to see my sister or whatever, I always get Emo's.
Just looks like some desperate people made that in the back of a grocery store.
Or Caddyshack, you know, River Market with Prevail cheese? Oh, it's amazing.
It's so gross, but I do think some people grow up eating it, and then they go, like, Brooke, she's like, well, I grew up eating it, so.
She likes it.
No, she's like, I don't want it. She's like, but I don't think it's gross at all.
Okay,
she's like,
I
can eat it. I can't eat it. And I look at some people and go, I don't think you like this. I think that you want to like this because it's
so
different.
Or you grew up with it.
Or you grew up with it. Exactly. And if you live in St. Louis, it's like, we wanted to have a thing. Here's our thing. And the fact that everyone's ridiculing us just shows that it's definitely our thing.
We still have a thing, right.
It's our thing. Yeah. And if we can eat it and keep a couple of these places
open. Same with Cincinnati chili.
That was an accident. Cumin and cinnamon looked the same in the bottle, and the label's too similar. I accidentally used cinnamon instead of cumin one time making chili.
Well, Skyline says it's not cinnamon. They won't give you
the secret
ingredients. I'm like, the secret ingredients is Cincinnati diarrhea.
No. You messed up making
I'm
chili.
Plain noodles. It's crap.
You messed up. Now, I will say that sometimes, like if you're broke and you're making chili, and you're trying to, you know, make it last as long as you can. My mom taught me this. That he'll cook up bags of macaroni noodles. I started doing this too. And then you pour the chili on a bowl full of macaroni noodles. Huh. And then you can even put like cheese on top of it. Well, you always put cheese, but like you can put like Tostitos queso cheese or something. Pour it on top
Prevail.
Of it.
Okay.
Yeah,
that sounds horrible.
Not Prevail.
Just put it on rice, man.
I've never done it on rice, but either way, you extend it quite a bit because now you're eating all these noodles and everything, and that chili can last you a week.
Put the chili on rice.
Yeah, I like the noodles. I'm not doing it. It's not Cincinnati. There's no cinnamon in it. It's not sweet. You're just eating, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you put chili on or whatever they put on Fritos to make Frito pie. Except you're eating it on, you know, pasta noodles. It's not bad. All right, finishing the news. I mentioned earlier, John Bon Jovi, right?
Yeah.
John Bon Jovi's in the news. Why?
He saved a life.
He saved someone's life.
Yeah.
He was on a bridge filming a video.
It was a dock. Sally worked. She worked long hours.
Yeah.
Johnny worked on a dock.
Yeah. And apparently this girl was wanted, dead or alive.
Yes.
And John Bon Jovi found her. She was on the side of this bridge, like she was going to jump. And she had, you know, you've seen these in movies, and you've maybe heard of one or two of these stories in your life, this happening, someone stopping someone at the last minute.
Certainly, she's going to jump, but not into a bed of roses.
That's exactly right.
No.
That's exactly right. So John Bon Jovi walks up. Imagine he's the one who comes up and says, listen, you shouldn't do it. Now, in that moment, Laszlo, you're about to jump. John Bon Jovi walks up. Does that make you more likely to jump or less likely? Like, what kind of a sign is that to you? Like, okay, God sent John Bon Jovi to me right now. The guy whose music I detest. Every time it's on, I feel sick. And here he is. Maybe this is a reminder that I don't like people very much. I'm a cynical person. And now here's this guy, and he's trying to save me. I'm just going to get out of here. I think it might push me over the edge. Now, for her, thank God, It saved her life. He got her off the bridge. He got her off the bridge, got her off the ledge or whatever, brought her back on the bridge. He happened to be filming a music video on that bridge. I'm sure whatever the song is that they were filming a video for is awesome.
Well, she was done. Why was she there?
She was what?
Why was she there?
I don't know. Like, she was going to
jump. She was on the edge of a broken heart?
She was on the edge of a broken heart. Yeah. Right. And so I told you, and she was wanted dead or alive. So I think she was probably an anxious person.
A chance encounter with Jon Bon Jovi turning into a life-changing moment. The legendary rocker in the right place at the right time Tuesday when police say he and his team helped save a woman on a Nashville bridge. The woman standing dangerously on the ledge over the Cumberland River. Bon Jovi then seen on surveillance footage walking over and talking with her for about a minute before
she's
helping
like, I'm
her
jumping.
Climb
it's
over
my
the
life.
Railing
right.
to safety. The two later embracing in an emotional hug. Mm.
What they don't mention there is that when, before he got closer, he rode up on a steel horse.
He did.
And then got off. And you can see it
and
all.
She said, I can't do it anymore. I'm living on a prayer.
That's right.
I've had too much.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. It's my life.
No, she ended up going with him. So I don't know if they're dating now or what the deal is.
He said you can't. Never say goodbye.
They have to stay friends now. Mm-hmm. Like, seriously, all joking aside, you have to stay friends. The celebrity
who
saved
someone's life. Slippery when wet.
That's right.
I got a million of them, people.
Yeah, he wrote a lot of songs.
Yes, he did.
But you got to stay friends with that person now. You're a celebrity. You just saved someone's life. Now, you've met thousands, hundreds of thousands of fans.
Was she a little runaway?
I don't know yet.
No, daddy's little girl?
Not a lot of detail.
Too fast to
probably play? Not daddy's little girl. That's the problem. But I feel like they stay in touch. I feel like that's an opportunity where you now are meeting the celebrity, and even if you're not a fan of the celebrity, you guys are now going to exchange information. This is such a personal thing that just happened. You know what I'm saying, Snow Cone? He showed up on the bridge, and now, boom, he saved
someone's
life.
She should write him a Christmas card every year.
I think he'll stay in touch with her. I shouldn't say that. I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed in touch with her. This seems like something where a lot of celebrities would say, yeah, I still talk to that person. That's a big deal. If you were on a bridge and someone was about to jump, and you were able to talk them off the ledge, and you, and they came back over. That's a connection, right? I know you're not a very sentimental guy, but come on.
Of course, I mean, yeah.
That's the kind of connection where you probably stay in touch with
that
person.
Unless, of course, their life just continued to suck.
Well, that's why you stay in touch with
them.
That's why you stay in touch with them. Make sure they're doing okay. Talk to them.
I don't know, what if they aren't? And then they're like, I wish you would just let me jump off that bridge.
Well, then you keep talking to them. You know, hey, man, maybe you need some drugs or something. You know, something that'll help you to feel better. Come over sometime. Whatever it is. You know, I watched that Gary Coleman documentary, and, you know, he was suicidal quite a bit, and his friend was able to talk him off the ledge there, so to speak. So that's what you need. You just need someone you can count on. And if you found someone and prevented them from jumping, I think you'd stay in touch with them.
I would imagine.
Yeah. And that includes big celebrities like Jon Bon Jovi. Which celebrity would be most likely to get you off the ledge the fastest if they showed up? Lindsay Lohan?
I mean, yeah, we'd get off.
The ledge immediately?
Yep.
Yeah. If she was like, hey.
I'd be like, you got to be kidding me.
That would be such a sign, right?
Right?
Like, okay, I'm getting off this
or
ledge right now.
If I said, but she's like, oh, my husband's in the car, then I turn around and jump.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're just rubbing it in.
Yeah. Like, she offers you a ride, and she's like, come on, let's ride back together, and you get in the car, and her husband's in the car.
But then I just get out
like,
and run
oh my
and
God,
jump off the bridge.
Jump off the bridge, yeah. But I'm thinking, you could use this to meet people. I could get on a bridge, say I'm going to jump, the media comes, the cops come, and I say, Natalie Portman's the only one who can save me. And they have to wait to fly her in, and she comes in, and she's like...
You're up there for like 30 hours.
Like 3 days. And she finally shows up, because she was, you know, in Israel shooting a movie or something, and she comes back. Yeah, and she's like, listen,
Natalie.
Reed... I'm here. What do you want? I'm like, I just need you to tell me it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And then I get off the ledge. That's a good way to meet people.
It is.
I mean, I think the cops would be like, we got to get someone involved.
I think they would be curious as to why Natalie Portman.
That's who I wanted to have.
Think Natalie Portman actually come or she'd be like,
I don't think she would.
I think she'd come.
You do?
I just think
she's
if there's media about
she
it.
Nice.
She's got too much
there's
class.
Media about it. How
I think you can't set the precedent, though.
Right.
But she's like on another level. She's got grace and class. You know what I mean? That's so rare.
With a terrorist at that point, you know?
I feel like she might think, oh, now I look like, you know, more of a commoner.
Celebrities would just be doing it all the time.
Yeah, but the PR
I'd be like, I'm into Jim unless Clooney comes here and has a drink with me.
Right. Something bad happens to you? Remember that guy on Silicon Valley, the TV show, the stand-up comedian? He's
T.J. Miller.
His career started getting some problems.
Yeah, something happened there.
You know, the bomb threat and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He had some problems. Well, what that guy needed was to rescue someone off the edge of a bridge.
Yeah.
Set that up, and now, boom, you're back on TV. Hell, save three people that are there. They all went together. They were going
to
commit
group suicide. All you need
is someone to
stand there for a second.
Exactly. I could be like, dude, I'll help you with your career. You're going to give me $50,000. I'm going to go stand on a ledge.
100% do it.
I'm going to go stand on the ledge of this bridge, and you're going to happen to be there, and you're going to save me, and we'll make sure it's somewhere where there's cameras watching us.
You know what? You're making a point now. Do you think this is all set up?
I know, and I'm
because now John Bon Jovi is filming a music video.
His new album has not been doing well at all. That single, I think they said, was one of the worst performing singles.
Now people are going to be Googling John Bon Jovi, listening to music.
You're going to want to watch the video.
Oh, God, he doesn't want people to listen to it. That'll turn them off. I would think. He just wants people to like him again, and they're like, oh, yeah, I hear that guy at the bar at the end of the night, and everyone's singing along, right? Katy Perry, remember her?
Yeah.
She's the one who named her vagina Katy Perry. I'm going to mention that every time.
Every time.
She was on the VMAs last night, and we had just talked about her last week because she was on some podcast talking about how she
using her vagina,
using her vagina as a tool, as a weapon, and saying she would, sexually please her man
if he did the dishes
and clean the kitchen or whatever. I knew that would annoy Lazo. Well, after our talk just a couple days ago about the whole "Are you on your period" thing, I heard this and I was like, I just got to play this clip for Lazo. I mean, is it big news? No, but here you go. She won an award.
Oh my gosh! First day of my period, too. Can you believe it? Thank you so much to MTV for believing in my weirdness from day one and for helping artists extend their worlds beyond a song.
God. I'm sorry. What does that make me? Sexist? Chauvinist? Or what? I don't...
A human?
I mean, her...
I gotta feel it's annoying
to everybody.
Oh,
my first day of my period. Girls don't like that, do they? They're not like,
imagine.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah,
good for
you
her.
Go, girl.
You talked about it. You don't need to. And it's not because there's certain things that we just don't need to talk about. And it's just you think you're making yourself quirky or funny or whatever. And it just didn't need to be said. I'm not saying everyone has to have... No, don't need to hear it again, Snowcone. Thank you. I'm not saying everyone needs to have as much class as Natalie Portman. That's not possible. But, you did this whole performance. People liked it. She was in, a rubber latex suit. I would say, if you get a chance, check out the video. We'll try and tweet it for you so that you can check it out if you haven't seen it. Because she did look amazing. But then she comes up there and just says, thank you so much. I did it all on my first day of my period. I thought, why? The last thing I heard you say was about trading your vagina for chores around the house. And now you're being quirky by talking
about
your
period. John Bon Jovi saved a life. He didn't even need a period.
That's right.
Didn't even need one.
That's
saved a life.
Very good point.
Thank you.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
You big, good-looking son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, you know what? Life.
Hey, did your kid do their thing at school?
Oh, yeah. We didn't watch him. What the hell happened?
I asked her about it, and she said something about she had asked him if she could. I didn't...
Oh, she blocked you? She kid-blocked you?
Oh.
Is that a thing?
No. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm sure she recorded it for me, but she...
But she didn't...
She said something
about
she asked her when she gets there, and then didn't hear much else, so I'm sure she recorded it for
me. Wait a second. Can you just say to her, hey, just FaceTime me when you get ready to get up?
I thought it's like, just FaceTime me.
Like, I don't have to ask
you.
And just hold your phone. Like, what do you mean you have to ask?
Well, he's in charge now?
Oh, like, ask permission? I didn't get it either, but...
She kid-blocked you.
I'm sure she recorded it.
Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Yeah, man.
The old K-block.
That would be tough. Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people with kids who are divorced or whatever, and you have to co-parent with someone that you don't live with. I don't envy you guys.
No.
I'll tell you that.
I'm proud of you. Pray for the homeless. That was his plan.
So. Right. So why couldn't I just see it
you
on FaceTime?
If his mom doesn't start to act right,
right,
they both would be praying for him and his mom together.
Praying
that check gonna stop coming in, son.
We're gonna talk about life getting real, my man. Life getting real. You know when it gets real? 6 years old. No, I'm just kidding. They come up with a setting like, hey, we figured it out. We know when life gets real. What does it mean for life to get real? I guess it means. It sucks. Isn't that what it means?
Yeah.
When someone says, like, when does life get real? I'm like, when you start to stress out and live on Xanax.
Yeah, there's,
and
like, actual consequences
alcohol.
For your actions.
You're getting late notices in the mail, and unknown numbers are calling in and saying, this is a bill collector. That's real. That's when life gets real. When does that start?
More from the pulpit coming up. The Church of Laszlo.
Preach, brother!
On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo!
Yo! Well, when would you say life got real for you? They did a study. They asked boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, this whole big poll, asked them different questions about life. But one of the things I want to start with is, because they talked about it, like, when does life get real? And I was thinking that, for me, I mean, it definitely got real when I was in an apartment and I couldn't pay the electric bill. My roommate left me.
Real because you figured
but
it
I
out.
Exactly. The thing is, I thought, well, everyone my age screws up.
Yeah.
If I have to go sleep on a friend's couch, I know other people that are doing that. It wasn't really
and
embarrassing.
You have to borrow $80 from your parents to keep the lights on. They still do it.
Right. Right. I mean, I don't know. Like, and I couldn't really borrow money from my parents, but I could go somewhere and I could go to my parents. It just wasn't the end of the world. I was like young enough, early 20s, people can screw up. But there is a point where you go, wait a second. I don't think I'm supposed to be screwing up anymore. I don't think the electric bill is supposed to forget to be paid. You say 34?
34.
34. Okay. I don't remember exactly, but I definitely remember those feelings of like, crap. There's no way to look at this situation and say, oh, that's normal. That's okay. You're just a kid. I am definitely not a kid anymore. And I think it was somewhere around 30. But this survey says it's 27. They say, you know, kids obviously become adults officially at 18. But they say a lot of 18-year-olds don't really agree that they're adults.
Right, like, sure.
And I would agree with that, too.
Of course.
So they did this study of four generations, boomers, Gen X, millennials, Gen Z. And they found that in their experience, adulthood actually starts around 27. That's when they start to feel like adults. You're paying your own bills at that point. You're financially independent at that point. And you're putting responsibilities over having fun. Like, I want to go out, but I need to pay my bills. Somewhere around 27 is when you go, okay, I'll pay my bills. I don't think that was me.
No, I think in your 20s, you can still make mistakes and recover from them.
So it's my thing. Like, you can smoke as many cigarettes as you want. You can just once you're 30, you need to, you know, stop this. You'll be an adult. That's how I always felt. I felt like my 20s was a free decade. God gives you a free decade.
Yeah.
It's like an open level.
And if you make a mistake, there's still plenty of time to recover from it.
Yep.
By the time you're 34, it's like, well, I better have this done.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
Once you're mid-30s, and we talk about 35 all the time, but once you're in your 30s there's no way of looking at this. There's no angle that says you're a kid. You may still feel like a 17-year-old, but you're not. And guess what? Everyone else who's 35, 45, they feel the same way. So you're just going to have to do it because you look like, you know, you look like a loser if you don't. It sucks, right? But it still happens. That's the other thing. I think somewhere for me in my 30s, the thing that hit me was, what if I lose my job and have to start over? Because if you lose your job in your 20s and start over, well, so what? Everybody's doing that.
Yeah,
especially
course.
People like me.
You're probably in a job that you don't want anyway, so what's the matter?
Right. For people like me who didn't go to college and my friends who didn't go to college, it's just like you bounce around and maybe one day you find a car dealership that you land at and you work there for a while. Whatever it was. But once I got a job, and had a people call it a
like
career.
There's like real serious consequences to your actions. And I don't think that's till you're in your 30s.
Well, don't you think? Did you ever have that feeling in your 30s? Like, what if I get fired now?
Yeah, I'm screwed.
Because I'm going to have to, what do I try and do this again?
Exactly.
The odds that I got this job in the first place are so astronomically low. Why would I try and do this again? And you're thinking about other things you can do.
Yep.
That definitely happened in my 30s. And then when you get divorced the first time.
Oh, yeah, when you have a kid.
Yeah, I'm sure that even adds to it. You get divorced, you're like, wait a second. Now I could be starting over.
That actually feels like you're getting a second chance.
Yeah, but you're also on your own now. You know, and you can be, you're in your 40s.
But there is a little bit. Like, going through it is bad, but once you're out of it.
Oh, I'm not saying divorces aren't great.
No. I mean, divorces are great. I'm just saying once you get out of it, you almost feel younger again. Like,
yes,
that's true. You've solved part of your problem. Part of my problem was being unhappy every day.
Yeah.
So I at least solved that part of the problem. I'm not unhappy every day because I don't have to see this person every day.
Right, right. No, I get that.
That almost is a relief.
It's definitely a good thing.
And you're not responsible for that person anymore.
Yes.
You're still, you know, with the kid, you're like, oh, Jesus Christ, no matter what happens, I'm always responsible.
Yeah.
Like getting, like, it's like getting divorced is like a burden being lifted.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I get
I'm not responsible for, we're going to sell this house, we're going to do, like, it's all horrible going through it, and then it's like, okay.
And you do feel younger.
Start
you're right.
Over. There's like a new lease on life. Like, I don't have to be stuck. I thought I was stuck.
Yeah.
I'm
no,
not
you're
stuck.
Right. And you do feel younger because it's like I'm kind of starting over relationship-wise or whatever. And that reminds you of the last time you were doing that, which was your early 20s or whatever it was, right? So it does make you feel younger in a way. You're right. And there is, look, the positives far outweigh the negatives. But somewhere around there, I don't know if it was in my mid to late 30s or around 40, but somewhere around there I thought, man, this is why they made those movies when I was a kid where you see the guy or the gal, middle-aged, you know, somewhere around 40 probably, and they get fired from this job that they have.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't relate to it as a kid at all. I was like, okay, so well, got fired, right? Go get another job. I didn't understand the heaviness of that and the fact that, like, holy crap.
Yep.
What am I? I got no skills, dude.
None.
Zero. I don't know how to do drywall. I don't know how to be a plumber. I don't know how to do any of that. I should have made different decisions when I was younger.
You do that.
A skill that, okay. Thanks. Yeah, that'll help. Yeah, people.
Oh, that'll make it.
They'll
lot.
Come running. I'm sure. I've seen the people that do that, and I think they would, you know.
Well, you're going to have a little competition. You're just going to have to work harder.
Yeah, exactly. Until my hands hurt. I know. So, anyway, around 27, they say this is part of the thing, too, is that kids live with their parents longer now. They blame boomers and Gen Xers or whatever for messing up the economy and making it harder. School's too expensive, all that. So they don't pay their own insurance and stuff, I guess, now until they're like 27. So, and I know people who do that. And they're like, you know, oh, I'm on my parents' cell phone plan. I'm on my parents' insurance plan. And I do not get mad about that. Some people who don't have that stuff are like, oh, you're so lucky. You don't know what it's like. I'm like, man, if my parents could do that, they 100% would have done that.
Of course.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Good for you. Your mom makes good money. Your dad makes good money, whatever. And now they're able to do this for you. I'm totally fine with
that. But if they can't, they can't.
But if they can't, they can't. So I get it, you know. Life is hard, and if they can help make it easier, I think that makes sense. But the people who are against it, a lot of times, by the way, the people who are against it are also getting money from their parents. I notice that a lot. But then they say, oh, well, these parents are teaching these kids horrible lessons because they're never going to know how to survive in the real world.
Yeah, they will.
And I think, okay, well, just show me them then. Right. Show me the ones that are 30 now and they're out on the street because their dad paid for their Saturn. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they drove until they were 27. I just want you to, I'm sure they exist, but come on. Is it really that big of a problem?
Not any more than a parent who couldn't afford anything.
Exactly.
Didn't give them anything.
I'm telling you right now, that doesn't make it any easier.
No.
So, anyway, you pay your insurance, you pay for your own phone, you pay, probably for a credit card, you probably got interest rates on that, you're making payments on a credit card, you have to do your own laundry, all that stuff. Now, older folks, they poke fun at younger generations. They say that, you know, you guys can't adult, you struggle at adulting. But they said 42% of people across all generations say they found that being an adult is harder than they expected it to be. Do you think it's harder than you expected it to be? I say no, actually.
Yeah.
Because I guess I thought it seemed so, the task seemed so overwhelming. The thought of like one day you'll be in charge of your own life with a career, paying for a house. I thought, well, we'll just wait and see. So it seemed too much for me to even consider.
Oh, right.
I didn't have that drive. I just thought that's not probably going to happen.
I don't think I really thought about it, but you know, I didn't think about what my dad had to do to pay for the house.
That's part of it.
The house was just there.
Yep.
Didn't think about how much dinner was. I didn't see the bill.
Exactly.
Right? I didn't know how much groceries were unless I happened to go grocery shopping with them. They're like, Jesus Christ. But I didn't know.
They didn't constantly talk about money.
No, there was never a talk of money. So it was like, you know, these things just happen.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older, I'm like, these things don't just happen.
Yeah.
Well, like, they don't. And it's stressful.
It's
to try to
stressful.
Keep it all together.
Oh, yeah, it's stressful.
It's not fun.
No. You go to bed anxious and you wake up anxious. And then the doctor hands you a bottle of pills and says, calm down.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, I guess I'll make sure I put this on an auto refill and get it every month. But even if your parents do talk about money, my parents talked about money all the time. So I did stress for my parents about money because I knew they were stressed about money. I knew they were stressed about paying bills. I overheard conversations about using the credit card too much or how are we going to pay for whatever. So I knew that they were stressed about money. I knew every time the grocery bill was finished, they were nervous about what the total was going to be. So I grew up in that. And even in that, Lazo, I still took it all for granted.
Right, of
course. Because in my mind, I'm like, well, it always works out.
Yeah,
it always works out. You guys talk about money all the time, but it always works out.
Yeah.
And in an odd way, I guess that is sort of true, if you can do it.
Yeah.
If you're lucky, you can end up being a person where it sort of works out.
You gotta make it.
It's gonna take some luck, though.
Yeah.
It's not all just, I know what I'm doing. Yep, you gotta hustle a bit.
Yeah.
Now, for the people who are college grads and they become lawyers, whatever, you guys are fine.
Yeah.
I'm talking about people who aren't intellectuals.
No.
And nothing
against
intellectuals.
High school dropouts like me. There's always a little bit of hustle. No matter how much you make, there's always a little bit of hustle going on.
You've got to.
Because you're like, man.
But so, do you think that being an adult now is harder than it was 10 years ago?
Well, I was
10 years
doesn't
sound that, it doesn't sound that long to me.
Feels the same, but maybe.
That's my thing.
Maybe beginning adulthood is harder.
Well, I wonder if that's what they mean.
I've already got like a lot of my stuff.
That's the thing. I've got a base. I got a base going.
Right.
I bought the house in the recession.
Like, I'd like a new TV, but I don't need one. It works.
Yep.
So I don't have to overthink all that stuff, you know?
Right.
I got a house, like, you know, late on my mortgage, but I got it.
Right. I couldn't buy a house now.
No.
And you've talked about this. You couldn't either. Mm. But because we got that base at some point.
Right.
Well, adulting for me is a lot different than someone who's just now starting to adult. So if that's what you're asking, is it harder for someone to start adulting now? I don't know. How right. the hell?
I really
don't
think
know.
So, though.
You would think so?
Yeah.
Well, 71% of people said they think it is.
I think it probably is.
So, and I don't know if that's because stuff costs more. I mean, rent seems expensive to me when I hear people talk about it. I know groceries are expensive, all that stuff. But at some point, you just kind of find a way. I don't know how it happens.
Me neither.
I'm not a smart person at all.
No.
And when I'm around smart people, I'm reminded
of
that.
Well, the good news is that most people are really stupid.
Well, that's true. That does help.
I mean, I'm being honest. It helps. Most people are incredibly dumb.
It does help. That does help.
They are dumb. Just walk around and, like, you know, people are dumb.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, if you walk around, you're like, all these people are dumb. And it's true. Like, you're smarter than them. You just haven't filled yourself with the knowledge. But you're like, no, I could figure out how to, even though I'm not going to, I could figure out how to make money off this person.
Right, right.
I could figure out if it was me and this person on an island, I would clearly survive when they wouldn't.
Yeah.
If you're walking around and you're seeing, and most people are like that, then you probably got a decent shot if you're being real honest with yourself. If you're being honest with yourself and you're like, boy, I'm not the smart, then, you know, you might have a problem.
It's like, you honestly,
life is just kind of a game, and there's a lot of bad players.
Yep. And you go, this is
a lot of better players than you, but you just got to figure out where you are in it.
Yeah. And you and I are in totally different situations, because my strategy has always been, I'll partner up with someone, and we'll do it together, because they'll help me stay on course, because I can't do it myself, so let me do that. And that has helped me a lot in life. That's why I have a house right now.
Right.
But you're on your own with two kids.
Yeah.
So I don't have kids.
I have them every day.
And I have a partner, so it's totally different, but I think we figure out what we...
I just texted one of them, like, hey, turn that meat over in the crock pot.
Right.
It's like, what am I doing? Like, sometimes I'm like, what is that?
This is my life. Yeah.
Why did I just text a grown child of mine?
Because...
to check the crock pot.
You are doing... what has to be
done
for your life.
Exactly.
For your life. And I'm doing what has to be done for my life. No more. But what I'm doing is not enough for you. It would not be enough for you.
But you could do it.
But I could figure it out. If the kids came over tomorrow and Brooke left me, and I'd be like, all right, but I'd figure it out.
Exactly. That's what you got to do. You just got to figure it out.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo.
On 98.9 The Rock.
I really don't know if this is real, and I should just preface it with that. It's being shared on the internet. It appears to be real. There's a commercial... a new commercial that is using a song that was once considered the worst song of the 1980s. Rolling Stone put together a list a while back of the worst songs of the 1980s. And when they start doing worst songs, you're like, well, wow, there were a lot of bad songs in the 80s. I would assume that you dislike most of these. Mm-hmm. Honestly, number 10, I think, would be the one you hate the least. That would be my guess. But I don't know.
These are the 10 worst songs of the 80s?
According to them, these are the 10 worst songs. When we get to number one, I'm going to tell you why I bring this up, because it's about this commercial, and it's just so embarrassing. It's funny to me, though. But number 10, according to Rolling Stone. Never going to give you up.
Yeah, people love that song.
You know what? It's like, I really like.
Everybody hates Rick Astley.
I really liked I'll Tumble For You.
Yeah.
Culture Club. To me, that was kind of like my version of that, just better. Thought it was a better version of that song. But now all anyone thinks of is getting Rickrolled, right?
Right,
So they say that's the 10th worst.
That's not the 10th worst song of the
1980s. I don't think so either. I think that song doesn't belong. It's almost like they're Rickrolling me, because I'm like, that doesn't belong on the list. Now, number 9 belongs on the list. I don't know if you recall a band called Taco.
Oh, yeah.
But they did this song, Putting on the Ritz.
Yeah, I know the song.
Yeah, you don't like it.
Putting on the Ritz.
Yeah, you don't like the song, right? Putting on the Ritz. I mean, it's bad. Yeah, okay, I don't need to hear it. I think people are aware of it, but that's a bad one. The next one on the list is a bad song. For whatever reason, though, it showed up a lot on...
Actually, maybe I like that.
It's bad. For some reason, this song would show up like on VH1 Classics, stuff like that, and I would hear people talk about it as if they liked it. I learned about it from Wayne's World, like a lot of people my age, but I never thought of this as a real song worth listening to.
Oh, yeah, it was popular.
It's weird, but it's like you were into this. Like, you're driving in your car, and you're like, yeah.
It was one of those things that you had to live it. It wasn't a song that was like, oh, people were like, I love this song, and Tony Basil's my favorite artist.
Wow, Tony Basil, look at that.
But it was like, it was just like one of those songs. I was just like, you could probably pick one from every decade that was just white hot for 7 minutes, right?
So mine might have
played at the pool, and everybody was like, oh, yeah, this song's fun and a cheerleader thing, and then it was gone. It was it. It was like
so maybe my generation's was like Spice Girls or Barbie Girl. I'm a Barbie Girl in a Barbie World.
65.
Yeah, because that wasn't like a real song, but for some reason people liked it.
Well, I think this was a real song.
The Macarena.
Well, yeah.
Who Let the Dogs Out?
Who Let the Dogs Out? Okay. Mambo number whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
Those songs, that song's not any worse than those.
No, you're right. No, okay. That's like
that's
just
a good comparison.
But you had to live through it.
No one takes it seriously. They're going to be gone.
It's just like white hot. Like, oh, man.
Okay.
A little bit of moon. And you're like, oh, and then after like a week, like, all right, whatever.
I thought maybe some people.
I don't think anybody's saying
talked about her with like respect.
Like the greatest 80s.
No, this is obviously on the worst. Right. The Rolling Stones is one of the worst.
But all the bands you played so far, these are songs that came out of nowhere.
Give it time, it gets bad. Give it
and
time.
And were wildly popular for 30 seconds.
Which happens a lot.
All the time.
It happens every decade. And now, this next one, I will admit.
Every year, almost.
I think I was 7 years old. This was the first record I bought. They still sold records at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
And I did buy this record. And I have to admit that I got home, I listened to the song I wanted to listen to. I didn't like it as much as I think I was already tired of it from hearing it on the radio, and the rest of it was awful. But I went and bought. I went and bought Bobby McFerrin.
Come on, man, this is great.
You like this album?
Well, I don't know the album.
Well, I'm telling you, I spent all my allowance on this album at the mall when I could have bought The Cure. But my mom said,
ridiculous.
"No, that man's wearing makeup," and that's what she said. You can't buy that. He's wearing makeup, and I was like, "Damn it, come on!" So I ended up with Bobby McFerrin.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my brother's downstairs. He's got like heavy metal cassette tapes, and I'm not allowed to go down there and listen to them. So I'm even more embarrassed on my Fisher Price record player listening to Bobby McFerrin. Farron, and my brother comes home. I'm like, he's going to hear this. He's going to know. He's going to know what a loser I am. He could be my dad. I don't know. The next one on the list, this is obviously a horrible song. I think he's dead.
I thought like two was a parody. Like, it's kind of a funny song. It's popular.
It was so popular. It was so. It was on the radio constantly. This song is definitely really bad. But I do think that maybe this guy passed away. So, you know, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but this was a bad song. I'm playing it from a video here. Why am I not getting music? Germany had Rock Me Amadeus. I think Germany had two big pop stars in the 80s because they had him, right? And then they had the 99 Luftballons. Yeah. That was big.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So, and I think they did they do both of those songs, one in German and one in English? Was
yes.
there okay.
That's well, kinda, Nine Balloons was definitely there's an English version.
I think Falco did too. Falco did, and then Falco also had another hit though, because he had that Der Kommissar. Der Kommissar's in town. I would have probably put
Falco.
That on here. Isn't that Falco?
Yeah, that's Falco.
I would have probably put that on here instead of this song. I don't know. Maybe I like Der Kommissar better. Okay, now we're getting into the ones that are... Snow Cone said this earlier. If you thought these songs aren't that bad, they certainly start to get bad in the top five.
They get bad.
So I think we're ready for number five.
We can dance if we want to. We've got all your life in mind. As long as we abuse it, we're never gonna lose it. Everything will work out right.
Okay, all right. Now, I will say that is the song on the list that I like. Okay. I actually like this song, and it's the one song on the list where I would say I like it. Yes, I like Bobby McFerrin when I was a kid. Don't need to hear it again. I can listen to that song, though.
Yeah, right.
I actually like that. So that's my song on the list. Was that the one you said you secretly liked, Snowcone?
It is not.
Oh, I'm curious which one is his. I want to see if I can guess which one is his, if that wasn't it.
Ready for the next one.
Now, number four.
Wake me up before you go.
This is the worst song of the 80s.
Number four.
It might be the most popular song of the 80s.
Well, yeah, I think part of it is at the property. They could have just picked songs that nobody heard.
Song.
They could have picked The Dirty Toilets, but, you know, no one knew what it was.
Maybe way off. Maybe way off.
All right, so that was what, number on four? We're ready for number three? I don't think that would be the song that he likes. Because I don't think he likes Fleetwood Mac or Lindsey Buckingham or any of that stuff.
Do
you
like
know
some
what I mean?
Fleetwood Mac. But...
He does? Okay.
All right, here's number three.
God, I hate this song.
Me too.
This is
so
definitely
annoying.
Bad. It's
horrible.
It's really, really
this is
bad.
The one.
Horrible.
That's the one you
this
like?
Is the one.
I thought you were going to say Lindsey Buckingham.
It,
oh
this
my
song
God.
Sucks.
Yeah, you can turn
it's
it
like
off.
Like every whore at a karaoke.
It's so bad.
And then, like, it's just like. Wedding music with women with their shoes
on. Take it seriously.
Trying to sexy dance to it.
Yeah,
it's bad.
Taking it seriously. I'm like, why are you taking this seriously?
Yeah, and then they're like, you know.
Who's the lady in red anyway?
Yeah.
I don't care. It's bad.
Brittany, it's your turn at karaoke. Oh, God. Or there's Steve, and then he's dancing, singing all sexy to Brittany at the karaoke.
They ask you to slow dance.
She's wearing red. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Makes me want to vomit.
It's bad.
It's bad. I would much rather listen to Falco.
Anything. Yeah. I will say, I have slow danced to that song because of my age, and it's awful. Awful. I can't believe that's the one. I would have guessed about three others.
I don't love it. I just I don't hate it.
Seems like you like it. All right, so number two?
Number two.
Oh, okay. The final countdown? Is that what this is?
Yeah, this is.
Who does final countdown?
Europe?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is not a real song. This is like not a real song, you know what I mean?
Doesn't matter.
It's like something you put in a Top Gun movie or whatever. Right, and then, yeah.
Lady in Red's worse than this. Come on.
Lady in Red is much worse
than this.
Oh, my God.
Because it's
much worse.
It's serious. I don't think this is serious.
In the video, but my God.
I always go with Lazlo's thing. If they
this
suck and they take
bad.
Themselves seriously,
yeah, that guy
then you hate them.
A crooner.
If they think they're having fun with
it, just a rock band.
If they think they're having fun with it, then. You know, you're more likely to give them a pass and say, oh, they're just having fun with it.
I think they were just a kind of a cheese dick rock band.
Right, but that's like a serious.
Not like the Lady in Red guy who thought he was writing the next.
That's what I'm saying.
Elton John song.
I'm talking about Lady in Red.
Yeah, me too.
I'm saying that the final countdown is not a real thing.
Rock guys.
Right, they're just having fun. All right, so that was number two.
They trust me, they're taking it very seriously.
Yeah, but I'm saying they were a rock band. They didn't think they were writing the next great love song.
Right.
They realize they're writing a song called The Final Countdown.
That song's offensive.
Right. Lady in Red is like, I think I've got the next In Your Eyes. And it's
I don't.
Well,
I can't imagine.
Now, so, do you want to bring up why this is number one?
Well, yeah. So, no, go ahead first and let's play number one so you can see what they said was the worst song of the 80s. That song sucks.
This song sucks.
And it's people the say
it's the kind of song that I would
say. It's the worst song ever.
Really?
Not just the 80s. I've seen that on the list as the worst song.
Well, you agree
ever.
That it's a terrible song, right? Now, I was reading about the song. I don't know if it's true, but I did read that Bernie Taupin, Elton John's songwriter, helped write that song. I don't know if that's true. I read it on the internet. I don't know if it's reliable or not, but that was like a fun fact they had about that song. But I was thinking a band like Starship. Isn't that who that is?
Yeah, it was Starship.
Yeah. Where do they play if they were alive? I don't know. Maybe they are. I would assume if you told me Starship is playing at Santa Caligon Days in Independence, I'd be like, okay, that sounds about right. And we're going to hear We Built This City.
Right.
I would assume.
Well, this was without Grace Slick.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
How do you
I don't know anything about
Jefferson
them.
Airplane to that.
It's bad.
Well, Jefferson Airlog, Jefferson Airplane. Jefferson Starship was when Grace left. That was Mickey Thomas.
But isn't this
I think Grace left before that, right?
I thought this is like the end.
Grace was in Jefferson Airplane for sure.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think she left long before Starship. I think she left before Jefferson Starship. I could be wrong, though.
Okay, but either way, this was the last iteration, right?
But it's such a weird path to get to
that. This was the final one, right?
This was the final
countdown. So it's like having a band that's falling apart. You got Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, and eventually it's just Stills. And you're like, I don't know that much about Stills. And he writes a song like that. That's kind of how I feel about that. And I would think if they show
it's
up.
Just
they
a weird
could,
path.
Yeah,
you know?
And they could go play a state fair, and I wouldn't think it's weird. But when they, I don't know how much money they made off of that, but they've got other songs that they have to have made money off of. So when a company.
Starship?
Yeah, those people, if any of them are alive, they've got money. And if someone.
Yeah.
And by the way, Bernie Taupin or whatever, if he actually helped write that song, he's got credits for it. I don't know who owns the rights to this, is my point. But if a company comes to you and says, we want to use your song, sometimes you need to say no. I know money is nice, but sometimes you
you're
need to
saying
say
that,
no.
This was used for something, and this band should have said no.
Yes, it's now being used. If this is real, the internet says this is being used. Are you ready?
No, I just checked Spotify. Writing credits include Bernie Taupin.
Okay, so whoever owns the rights to this, someone approved this. I'm going to play this for you, and the internet says it's real. So
and Peter Wolf.
We quilt this city.
We quilt the city.
We quilt this city with a comfy roll.
We quilt this city with a comfy roll.
Wait, what?
We quilt this city with a comfy roll. We quilt this city.
Oh. Say it's all the same. But we are here to change your toilet paper game. The quilted comfort of quilted northern. We quilt this city.
Keep it.
brother.
Wait a second. We're here to change your toilet paper game. We quilt this city. You, how bad are things that you go, yeah, okay, give me the 20 grand. I mean, I don't know what you get paid for that. If that's real, again, I want to make sure that I have not seen that on TV. I've only seen it on the internet. Well, but people are acting like it's real.
Anyways.
Dude, that's bad. As far as I know, a lot of things get sold out, and you don't have to be like the Beastie Boys and say, I'll never sell my music or whatever. I'm fine with selling your music, but that might be the worst I've heard. Give me a better example of someone selling out to something, a corporate, and it being worse than that. It's literally a toilet paper commercial, and they're saying, we quilt this city, and we're going to change your toilet paper game. And these people who own it said, boom, you got yourself a deal. That, I say right now, I'm giving it the crown for the worst sellout I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You show me something that was the worst sellout, I'd be interested, but I'm nominating this as the worst sellout I've ever heard from a band. Show me something worse.
No, I can't. I'm not. Yeah. I don't know.
I know there's been other embarrassing things. People put their music and stuff, and you're like, oh, that's cheesy. But this is literally toilet paper. They're changing your toilet paper game, and they're quilting this city.
I wonder.
Have some respect. For God's sake.
How much money does Mickey Thomas have?
I don't know. Not enough, apparently. He's doing toilet paper commercials.
98.9 The Rock. Your home for the Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.
I got to say something funny.
What?
Because I just love this country so much. They legalized sports betting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even in the states that don't have it, most of those states are working on bills to get it, you know, done so that they can allow it. So there's sports betting, and it's probably going to be just about everywhere in the country. I don't know. Maybe Utah won't do it. I feel like they're a little different. But anyhow, maybe they have it. I don't know.
California turned it down, right?
I could see that. I don't know. Yeah,
they did.
I could see that.
It was on the ballot.
So they actually just said no to it. Yeah, there'll be a couple states maybe like we're not going to do it. But most of them are figuring it out. Just because yours doesn't have it, I'm saying, doesn't mean it won't. Like Missouri supposedly working on it, and I've read that other states are too. But... you know, there's always this question about gambling, and does it hurt the integrity of the game? Because if people are betting on the game, then there's a higher likelihood that a player could be paid to throw off a game or do something, right? And that's why these leagues didn't want gambling for so long. They fought against it. They got the Supreme Court to guarantee that it wouldn't be legal because they didn't want the integrity of the game being messed up.
Then they're like,
whoa, there's a lot of money in this. So now they're all for it. They totally changed their tune. But that's one thing. Sports betting is one thing. But this thing that the judge is about to decide, I think like the most American 2024 thing you could hear. I'll just play a clip from the news.
Be able to wager on U.S. elections within U.S. boundaries. A startup called Kalshi plans to offer election betting. A federal judge gave the go-ahead, but the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, a U.S. agency that regulates derivatives markets, was granted a stay to hear the court's reasoning at a hearing today.
The commission's concern is that wagering on, let's say, congressional examples would create a monetary incentive to vote for particular candidates to make a buck, not necessarily because you think they're the best, and undermine the integrity of the elections. Hmm. Political bets are already, though, available to gamblers who use foreign websites. Election betting is why...
Okay, so you can bet using offshore companies. But I love the fact that a judge in this country, or judges, were like, what do they want to bet on? They want to bet on elections? Yeah, let them bet on elections. And then this derivative company, whatever, these assholes, these intellectual money people, like, whoa, that might be a bad idea because now people have an incentive to vote, you know, not because they like the candidate, because they want to make money.
Or actually, people might actually go out and vote.
Exactly.
Right. Tell the truth.
Right.
Tell the truth. The truth is, if people could put $5 on somebody, they'd go out and vote. And what they would do, most likely, not all the time, but most likely they would put $5 on the candidate that they're going to vote for.
Dude, you took the words right out of my mouth.
And so what they don't want is for people, we don't need more voters, we need less voters that we can control.
Dude, 100%.
Well,
that's
course.
All I just wanted to play that for you, because I'm like... you know what this would do is people would say, hey, you know what? I'm going to put some money on this. I better go vote, too, because it could impact it. And the chances that you're going to vote for the candidate you don't like because you think they're going to win, I think is going to be a very small percentage.
And by the way, I also think if you're like, okay, so let's say you're a Kamala supporter, okay?
Yeah.
And, but you think Trump is going to win.
Okay.
All right? So you throw, you know, a couple shekels on Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe you don't go vote.
Yeah, there's that,
right,
too.
There's that. Right?
You're like hedging your bet. It's like, well, if he wins, then at least I win money.
So I understand the process in it of what they're talking about, but I would think that would be very rare.
I think the majority of them are going to do what you said.
Exactly.
Put the money on the can, and then they're going to go vote, and you would see voting numbers skyrocket.
Voting numbers would skyrocket.
They would skyrocket.
Sure.
We're betting on these elections. You better believe it.
But it would
what be more American.
I do think there could be crazy things where you're like, you know, somebody's like, well.
Oh, there'll be scandals.
No, not only scandals, but just like, you know, I voted for Trump. And you're like, well, do you like him? Well, I didn't really pay attention. I don't care. But I knew he was going to win, so I put $100,000 on him.
I got $20,000.
Right. So I don't really care what happens to you.
Right.
I made $5 million,
sure,
on it, right?
Sure. But like you said,
I did a long shot, you know. I took him,
21.
I 2 years ago. I took Trump, and you'd be crazy. I put J.D. Vance as his running mate.
Right.
The money
I got
that
on the parlay.
Yeah,
that's right. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right. I think people will probably most likely.
Could you imagine at the beginning of this year if you were to put money on Kamala
to be
president?
Yeah.
To be president if she wins.
Yeah.
You would have made a lot of money.
It could have been like $1,000 to $1.
See, I'm excited about it.
Right.
It gets me excited about politics.
Well, I'm telling you, I was sick of politics. And now wait a second. I can vote on this. Also, I can now look up who my local representatives are, other than my mayor and all that stuff. And I can say, hey, I know these people. This person's likely to win. Or most of those races, I think a lot of times the smaller ones can be a lot closer. Then you got the ones where they run. I mean, if no one's running against them, I'm guessing you can't bet on that. But right. I would start paying attention to more of those candidates that are running, looking through those little things they put in the paper that says, here's what you need to know about every issue that's on the ballot. And I'd be betting on it.
Yeah.
Every issue that's on the ballot. Oh, they've got abortion on the ballot. Let me vote on that. Right. And if I say I want them to get rid of this abortion ban,
I'll put money on it. And by the way, you're saying like, oh, well, then people would vote against their best interests. They do that all the time.
Absolutely.
So, like, you're already doing it. Right, at this point, you're saying, oh, no, we can't have people vote for something that they don't really want. Like, okay, you've been fooling people and lying to us all for years about what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. I would not say right now that politicians from either side, what they really want is a small, informed voter base. That's not what they're going for.
No.
What they're going for is a small, uninformed voter base, right? Hey, you like us. We're Republicans. We don't kill babies when they're 2 years old.
Right.
Like, oh, okay, good. And we don't eat dogs.
Right.
And the other people are like, oh, screw you. You do eat dogs.
Yeah. Right. That's basically where we're at.
Right.
That's literally where
babies.
We're at.
Right. I mean, you are a baby. That, all that fight, like, that's what they want.
Yeah.
People would actually might get informed if they had money on it.
The vast majority of people that would put money on it would vote for the person they want. I believe that.
I believe that, too.
And I think there's a lot of people.
And not only that, I think they'd be informed. Like, you have a bunch of people just show up to the polls on the day, like, I don't know.
No, you're
I'm a Republican. I'm Republican all the way down. I think people, if they had money on it, they become more informed.
If you've ever done sports betting before, I'm guessing you learned some things. Because when you start doing sports betting, I'm starting to figure out who's pitching for the Padres, right? Which I never would have done before.
Exactly.
So if politics are the same way, which let's just say it is,
right?
Because it's a competition, right? I'm going to start learning about these candidates. And I'm with you. I think the majority of people are going to be voting for the person they want to vote for. And then allowing gambling on elections would do more to motivate people to vote than any Taylor Swift endorsement or Hulk Hogan endorsement. The fact that I can make money on it, there are people that maybe have an opinion and they're just like, I don't like that person or I don't like that woman, but they don't go vote. And now they say, I'm going to put 10 bucks in. You know what? I got money on this. I better go vote. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I'm all for it. I don't know. Does any other country do this? I just think it'd be amazing if we have federal judges in this country saying, let's go ahead and open it up to bet.
Because all the gambling would be online, I assume.
Me too.
Or even if it wasn't, they can track it all. The crazy thing would be how many people put money on it as compared to how many people actually voted.
Yes.
I do guarantee you there'd be way more people gambling than actually showed up for that Tuesday to vote. The amount of money that would go into it you'd be picking states.
Yeah.
All right.
Michigan going to be red or blue?
-120 for Alabama being red, right?
Right.
-240 for Kansas being red, but you know, now you got some of these purple states. You're getting pretty good odds, right?
Yeah.
I think as it gets closer, like Texas is in play. And Texas is in play at +500.
Yeah.
Like, I think there'd be more people engaged, but I also think there'd be more people gambling on it than voting.
But don't you also think the final thing that I thought was that if they do this and people start gambling, which they would, that all those polls that they use currently, it's a Quinisap poll or whatever, this is where they stand. I think they'd be going to the gambling app and saying, this is what this is what Vegas thinks. Because everyone trusts Vegas. If Vegas says the Chiefs are going to win by seven, they probably win by seven.
Right.
They're real good at doing that.
Right.
And they're real good because they've got all this information that other people don't have access to. So if you're all betting on your phone who's going to win what race, which state's going to be red or blue, I think that's the information the news would start reporting.
Yeah, for sure.
Time to pass the collection plate.
Give with a joyful heart. You will be blessed.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
So we were sitting here off the air. You can join us too, twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo. We stream the whole show every afternoon. And you can also text us, 913-586-7989.
Yeah. Go to our subreddit.
Yeah, reddit.com/r/Church of Laszlo. L-A-Z-L-O. I think that's it, right? That's all the spots.
We got a podcast coming out.
We do.
We recorded that today.
Yep. Toxic and Problematic. Try and do that.
Well, it's not toxic or problematic really today. It's going to be out this weekend.
No, I mean, you know, we cuss a little bit. But that's about it. Yeah. Nothing too scary.
We're talking baseball.
There. Yeah, it's sports because Royals are probably going to go to the playoffs. It's not going. What I don't want to jinx anything. I wore my Royals hat today.
There you go. If you want Royals stuff, you can go to popflyapparel.com.
That's right. That's right. If you're getting ready to go to a game, you're getting excited with playoffs, go there, popflyapparel.com. So we were sitting here talking about lying to get out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling you guys that I lie a lot, and I will lie to someone, and Brooke will be there with me, and then the person I'm lying to leaves, and Brooke will often look at me afterwards and say, it really scares me how good you are at lying to people, because you do it immediately on the spot, and you have a full thing, and it's like you believe it. And I said, because you do believe
it. You have to believe it.
You have to believe it. I believe that it's real.
Not only that, not only do I believe that it's real, to me, the trick to being a good liar is that I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm telling you, I can see in my head. I can see the picture. The movie plays. I'm not really making this up. It's happening.
Yeah.
And I'm relaying to you the movie in my head.
Yeah.
Does that make sense at all?
Sort of. I don't really see anything in my head.
I've
learned.
It.
Yeah. But
they're like, well, where were you last night? Boom. Movie. Like, it's working in my head.
Yeah. I mean, like,
I was
flashes.
At this bar downtown. Like, boom. Like, I'm telling the story.
Yeah, there's definitely flashes.
My car broke down. Now I've got a picture. What color is the car? I know what color the car. They say, well, what color was the car? I already know.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing the movie in my head. It was black. Like, I don't know. There's not a pause.
Mm-hmm. No, because I've
already done it.
People start asking me those questions. I just go with I already have someone else's vehicle, and now I'll just start to describe that. But I will say one of the things I tend to do is I do get sort of angry if you're not believing me. If you're skeptical at all, I start to get upset. Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
This is what's happening. I don't care if you don't believe me, because that's your... And at that point, they usually go, oh, okay.
Yep.
And they just crumble. Does that make me a psychopath? I don't know. I've never burned a cat or anything, but I will lie to your ass. So, a guy in Michigan, though, this guy, I want to give him some sort of award. I know we say this as a joke all the time. I would like to get this guy on the show. Where's Harrison Township, Michigan, Lazo? Is that somewhere near Detroit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's in the area. This man in Harrison Township read that he's 45 years old. His car is going to be repossessed. Been there.
Yeah,
I've woken up to the sound of a tow truck not that long ago. And I go out front and I'm like, what the hell is happening? I thought I could go a couple months, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No, you cannot. So I know what it's like. And everyone's seen the videos online of someone chasing down a car that's being repossessed. Laszlo called me one morning and said, I need a ride. They repossessed my car. I forgot to make the payments. Yeah. So a lot of us...
That was my bank's phone. But whatever.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, you had the money, of course. Mine was...
Well, the bank would take an amount out.
Yeah. But it wasn't right.
Every month. But the amount was wrong. So it was less than what the payment was?
Yeah.
But it just came out of my bank account, so I never paid attention to auto pay. And then they're like, well, you weren't paying the right amount every month. I'm like, you do it.
Right. Right.
And like, oh, well, you needed to change it. I'm like, well, all right.
Well, this guy.
You got it, U.S. Bank, you dirty bitches.
This guy in Michigan.
Why I still bank with him? 20 years later.
I know, like, me too.
You know what? Because I'm just like, everybody else sucks too.
I'm lazy. Well, right. By the way, one time I did move across the street.
Mm-hmm.
I just started another account. I thought, maybe I'll make this my main account. And the first question I ask her, are you local? And she says, sir, we've been locally owned for 80 years. We've been to Kansas City Bank. And I was like, fantastic. Made my account. I'm not making the story up. A month later, it was actually 4 weeks later, I go there to deposit a check. And it is turned into one of those Walmart banks. I don't want to say the name, because I've heard that it's somehow connected to Walmart. I don't know that that's a bad bank, by the way. I have no idea. Irish? I've never banked there. Yeah. Isn't that a Walton? I've heard that. I don't know if that's true. But yeah, suddenly it was a national bank. Yeah. I was like, well, I guess I can give up this whole idea of like finding some local bank and someone talking to you. Just forget it. So you just stay at the bank and you let them.
They just know. Like,
you let them pound you. Yeah.
My boss won't give it to me in cash.
No, you're not even allowed to get a check.
It has to go to a bank.
I'm not even allowed to get a check.
No.
You can't get a check
anymore.
It has
to go to a bank.
Yeah. It's like, well, okay, I guess I have to
pick a bank.
Yep.
So I'm like, well, I don't know. With all the else, you all suck.
Yep.
I know. I just picked the one that sucks.
I know.
You suck.
I know. There's one bank in Kansas City that I thought, oh, maybe we should go over there. I don't know where to look. But Bank Midwest, do you ever bank there? Because I used to bank there, and they were a good bank, and it still says Bank Midwest, so I might try and go open an account there. But anyhow, this guy in Michigan. He's 45 years old. He's worried about his car getting repossessed. So I'm trying to think, what would I do to get out of it? What I would do is move the car, hide it, get away. I know it might have GPS in it, but just keep moving it. So the tow truck's like, I don't know where this guy is. Mm-hmm. But you don't know when the truck's coming to get it.
Park it in your garage.
Yeah, if you've got a garage, you close the door. That makes it difficult. So this guy has an idea. He takes a couple of propane tanks, okay? And he takes some copper wire and rigs up the copper wire to these propane tanks and dresses this thing up. It makes it look like a bomb. There is a bomb. Someone has put a bomb on his car.
Mm-hmm.
You can't repossess this. That some sort of terrorist act is about to be committed. Someone has strapped a bomb to my car. Get back. Everyone get back. I love this so much. Just imagine this guy coming out and be like, whoa, 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 get back. Someone's put a bomb on the car.
Right.
Now, I will say the bomb, it looked like propane tanks. But I don't know what a bomb looks like. They used a pressure cooker in Boston. So I don't know. It could easily be a bomb. So this guy used the fake bomb. The problem is he got in a lot of trouble. He got arrested because I guess making a fake bomb, even if it's just to keep them from repossessing your car, making a fake bomb is like a big deal, and you end up getting in a lot of trouble.
He was asking if the tow truck was a repo truck, and then we saw him working on his car. Woke up to him putting propane tanks in his car, saying that he was going to blow it up.
So he had a piece of cardboard in his windshield that said, "Don't move car, it will blow up."
Yeah, I'll just blow this thing up. You're not allowed to have it.
He's
a terrorist because he's in trouble for creating a fake bomb. Yeah, that's what I think you get probably in a lot of trouble for that, for saying that there's a bomb. I feel like they take that stuff seriously, especially when you put a sign on the window that says, don't move the car, it's going to blow up.
Why? You're giving them a warning.
Well, that's true. That's better than saying, come on up, and then actually blowing the car up.
Right.
But still, I think they don't like the fake bomb stuff because, they don't want to get the bomb squad involved. And the Michigan
Are you allowed
State,
to booby trap your house?
The Michigan State Police Bomb Squad responded.
Can I booby trap my garage?
You better be allowed to. That's your castle.
Right. I'm being honest, though.
You should.
I parked the car in the garage and then booby trap it. You go in there and try to steal it.
A gun starts shooting at you.
Yeah, or, whatever, an iron or, Home Alone.
You want to do like Home Alone. I think if you open the garage, there should be just rifles pointed and just start shooting anyone that crosses the threshold. Mm. And as long as it only shoots people that cross the threshold, I should not be in any legal trouble. Just because my kid's friend came over and got the garage door code and got shot
in
the head.
As long as you put a sign there that said, don't cross this threshold.
I can put the sign.
Or I'll shoot you.
Right. If I put the sign, I should be good, right? You will die if you enter without me here.
I think so.
Yeah, I think you should be allowed to do that. If you're not allowed to do that, then I don't know if I'm...
What kind of country?
Exactly.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9, The Rock. The Rock. The Rock.
I don't want to say... Never say goodbye, Jon Bon Jovi.
Oh, Jesus.
Never say goodbye.
I'm going to say Auf Wiedersehen.
Good show. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9, The Rock.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.